Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Good to see everybody here tonight. Good to have you here. You feeling warm? All right, good, good, good. Hallelujah. Let's make tonight, you know, I'm talking about change tonight. You know, we have the power to make a change in somebody's life. So don't forget when you leave out this place, if you got a dollar a month, just that we could support all the people here together, we could take one child and really bless that child. And we'll get a picture of that child. And the money goes through the compassion, and they take care of everything. And it goes directly to that child. Amen? So that's what I love about them, is they handle everything that no one else is getting in between. That goes to our child. Amen? That child. And that child will be praying for us as much as we pray for that child. Amen? And the change that takes place. So I believe it's powerful. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dan. Good to see Brother Dan back. Amen. Amen. He just celebrated his 60th birthday. No. No. All right. Sorry. No. Oh, yes. I thought you were older than me. I don't know. Amen. What's that, honey? Yeah, I'm good. Amen. Amen. Good to see everybody here. Amen. Our newlyweds right here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I just want to share something with you, because we want to bless you guys to come downstairs and have a little fellowship. Amen. Sometimes that's good to do. Amen. So if you help me tonight, amen. I don't like preaching at people. I like we go back and forth. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. He's going to put on the whenever we used to have it where that we would have the congregation whenever there was something there, a moment you clap or you say amen or whatever. So we teach people how to do that. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I just want to know you're awake. I used to be a youth leader for years, and sometimes I would never let a youth fall asleep on me, and I'd be running. People say, "Boy, you get excited in this." I said, "Because I wouldn't let those kids fall asleep on me or get the upper hand of me." Because sometimes they'd be fooling around, and I'd be running up the aisles, and I'd be getting, you know, preaching, not acting like I was getting in their face, but letting them know I was here. Amen. And I was in charge, but I'm not in charge. The Lord's in charge here tonight. Amen. So listen, tonight I want to share with you about change. Change is a hard thing to do. Change is something. But I want you to know that here's the powerful thing that we got to know. Either change is inevitable. Thank you, sir. It's inevitable. Change is inevitable. There's some things that it just comes easily. It just happens in your life. Come on, help me tonight. Things that just take place in your life that they just come aboard, that we begin to go from being young to begin to grow up, and it's change and it happens. Amen. Before you know it, you're like, how did I get here? Come on, you're seeing those wrinkles. I found this cream that I told my wife. I said, "You got to get me that, man. I got bags under my eyes a little bit, man. I kind of can pull them. It's not going back like it used to." but it happens. Come on, amen. Happens, and I can't do nothing about it. But there are some changes that take place that I have the power, amen, to change them. That there is an option, amen, that I don't have to let it take place, but I can change, amen. And we got to know that, and we got to understand that God's with us in the midst of change, and we got to realize that we are continually changing, and especially that we understand that when we come unto God, that we come unto Him, that God is moving and working in us. And I want to read the scripture in Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will and to do His good pleasure." God is working within you, amen, for things to change in your life. And I want you to know it's for the better. Tell someone it's for the better. Listen, God's got your back. He's got your back. It is for the better that we trust God, a merciful Father that loves us, that desires the best for our lives. I desire the best for my daughter. I desire that she succeeds in every area. And I cannot... I cannot even fathom to know that my God does not think the best for me. Amen? That His plans are for blessing. His plans are for mercy and for goodness and for change and for purpose in my life. And it says, so. But here's the thing. It says that in change, see, he the Word of God helps us to understand that He understands what we're going through. Because the next verse says this. He says, do it without murmuring and complaining. See, that's what we do sometimes when we know we need the change. I want to help you tonight. Because listen, that we know we need the change. We know there's some things, man, I know I should be this. I know there's something there. But man, daggone it, I just can't get over that hump. Or I just can't get to that place. He said, but I want you to know. He says, I want you to do it without murmuring and complaining. He says, let the change transform me, that you may be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You shine as lights in the world. Listen, I want you to know the change that's taking place is that that light becomes more seen. Amen? That light becomes greater in my light, in my life, for the world to see. For others to see, for husbands to express it to their wives and wives to express it to their husbands. Amen. That takes place. I want you to know that I wrote some things down that some changes are easy, but then there's some changes that are hard. Come on. Amen. Some changes are easy because, you know, you start turning gray. Come on. And you know your original color and you're determined not to let it go gray. Or keep it. Or just let it go. Right? I mean, usually most baldness is not planned. Oh, it was. So, I didn't want to offend anybody. I thought about that. Should I say that before? I don't know. Is baldness planned? I don't know. But the gray part of it, the gray that we choose, that we say, you know what, I'm gonna. That those are some options. Those are some things that we have power. That it's easy to change. Come on, amen. My wife will not let. I said, will you ever let your hair just go, you know, she's, no, yeah, I'm not talking about her. Like, whoever that is, somebody else, who can I pick on? But they won't let it go gray or whatever. I'm not going to let it. You don't got any gray hair, right? No, I didn't think so. I've never seen it. It's always blonde. So, okay, good. So, but to change that is easy. But there are some things that are hard. Eating habits. Man, you want to do good. You start out good, man. You're like, you know, you really want to do right. And then lunchtime comes. You do good, man. You ate the banana. I ate a banana and orange. And then lunchtime comes. And you see all your, well, we're heading over to Sheets. Or we're heading over to Subway. And I'm like, well, okay. Well, today, I mean, right? I mean, if I get vegetables on it, we're good, right? But those are hard because you get used to doing it one way. You get used to eating a certain way and it becomes hard to break off that thing. Exercise. Come on, amen. I have intentions to do exercise sometimes. I really do. I mean it. I mean, ask God. I mean, I really do intend to exercise. I intend to. But ultimately, I fail at it, you know, because you get home from work and you're tired and you're like, oh, man. That chair looks better than that treadmill. Whew, amen. It feels better too. My feet are hurting today. We make excuses for it, but we know that some of those are hard. And you know what? It's easy to say I do. It was easy to say I do to my wife. That those are easy changes because you change to go from single to being married. It's easy to say I do, but it's after the I do that becomes hard. Because you've got to change. Come on, amen, because in the midst of marriages in our lives, come on, help me, marriages, that you know that if you don't change, you're going to find yourself like the woman at the well that she was facing six husbands. And I'm not blaming her on it, but I'm blaming that I know that if there were six of them, that somewhere along the line there might have been some changes. She was looking for the wrong thing. And Jesus was introducing Himself that this is where change begins. That's what He does to us. I want you to know that He presents Himself to say, this is the package, hallelujah, that will get you out, that will cause you to change when you need change. when you can't do it on your own. Come on, I talked about some of those earthly things that we go through with change, but I'm talking about now, I'm relating it to us to understand that there's changes that we know that transform us to begin to reveal who God is in our lives that we have to let happen. Amen? That we got to let it take place in our lives. That we got to let it begin to set us free, to move us forward. That ultimately we realize that the change that's happening is not just doing good for me, but it's doing good for those that I'm around. Amen? That they begin to see the light of God, that they begin to experience who God is in their lives by what I'm letting change in mine. Because we can become stubborn, we can become angry, we become mad at the way things are, say, I'm not changing. And what happens is we begin to lose people around us because they don't like what's coming forth out of our lives. But I want you to know that it's God that will meet you wherever you're at. Tell someone wherever you're at. No matter where you're at, that we can seek God. Amen. That we can ask His strength. That we can pull on Him. That He is there. He is sitting on our well. Amen. That's what Jesus did. He sat upon the well that she came to. She was searching. And Jesus was the answer for her. He was sitting on your well. I want you to know that Jesus will ultimately get to a place in your lives where He'll sit on your well. That you're looking for something and He will sit right before you that and you will find it only in Him. And it says that after she met Him and He touched her heart, that she left with her water pot, without her water pot. She came looking for something and she found it in Jesus. She left with an empty, didn't take her water pot. She didn't need it no more because she was filled inside. The change comes from Christ. Amen? Listen. See, we say these things that I said this and I wrote this down because I just had it in my mind because I just did a marriage. And that we say some words that it's after the I do that we stick with it. It says in sickness and in health. For better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. Come on, help me. That it's the change through those things. Amen. It's in the sickness. It's in the health. It's in the richer for poorer. In the midst of those things, the change takes place in our lives. That we let transform us. To cause us to grow up. Amen. To cause us to reveal Him instead of me. My selfishness, my pride, my anger. Amen. So listen, when change is obvious but too hard, don't blame others because you won't. Man, just let that sink in. I think that's powerful for us to understand that when change is obvious and we don't let it take place, that what we do sometimes is blame others. And we experience that right now. We're seeing it everywhere where that because people won't change themselves, that they blame everybody else because of it. We have to let the change begin in me, in my heart, in our church. Amen? Change happens in us. This is when change happens in us. That when we realize that I am weak, but He is strong. I am weak, but He is strong. I can't do this on my own. Amen? And this is how it happens. Change happens in us. In the light of the love of God, three things that I wrote down. In the light of God's love, understanding His love for me. In the faith of Christ, in His faith, trusting in Him. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Amen? In the communion of Holy Spirit, communing with God, communing with the Spirit of God, taking hold of it, appreciating it. Letting it transform my life. That when we're faced with things and things that we struggle with, that we stop in those moments and we ask God's help. Amen. That God desires us to meet Him in those places. That God, Lord, I need to get... Lord, this is strong for me. This is hard for me. Come on, there's temptations that we face in our life. But at that moment, amen, in that moment, come on, amen, in that moment, right then and there, we don't blame anybody else, but we talk hold of it ourselves and say, God, I need You to help me change. Amen. In those moments, do you hear God speaking heart that you know that, man, I don't want to do this thing, or I don't want to say this thing, or I don't want to act this way, that you ask God's Spirit, amen, that you commune with God's strength, that you being weak, rely on His strength, amen, to take you forth. That's what we need to do.
In those moments, don't let them pass. Come on, amen. Don't let them go beyond. Don't let them get outside of where you are. But let it take hold of you. Let it empower you, trusting in God for it. And I want you to know that we all make mistakes. Tell your neighbor, you make mistakes.
I don't really, but no.
I make mistakes. But I want you to know that I begin to learn, and I know that the one thing that empowers me, I don't want to repeat the same thing over and over, but when I do something I know is wrong, immediately I stop. I say, God, forgive me, God. Forgive me for this, God. And I repent, and I said, God, empower me, God, not to repeat the same thing again, God. But empower me, God. Let your Holy Spirit convict me and show me and guide me that I don't do the same thing over again. It's at that moment that you ask God's divine help to break you out of that you don't have to continue it over and over again. Might have to say it a few times. You might face that a couple times. But as we ask for God's help and seriously, just grab hold of God. Say, God, Lord, I need you to help me in this. Amen? But we get in a place where we try to do it on our own. Try to do it in our own strength. But we need to do it in communion. We need to examine. We need to examine our moments. So why don't I change? What are my motives? What are my motives to doing this thing that I'm doing? Is my motives wrong? Is that why do I do it? Because I don't change. Is it because, what are my motives? My motives in this matter. Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? What are my motives? Why am I doing this? That sometimes that we know that, man, that we know this thing that we struggle with. What is my motive for doing this? Why am I doing this? And then we need to ask, what is the message? What message do I have that I'm hearing because I can't change? So what is the message that I'm listening to? What am I hearing that is not causing me to break forth? Am I not doing the right thing, that my motive is wrong, and the message that I'm hearing, why I'm not being transformed, why I'm not changing out of the same routine? Come on, amen? Because something has to change. So it has to be my motives and the message that I hear and the method, the way that I'm doing it. Come on. In the method, the way that I do it. And those things have to change. But I want to share with you tonight about a guy that dealt with the same things we deal with, the struggles that we face. His name was Jacob. And he experienced great change in his life. And a lot of those things were things that he created on his own. Come on. There are some things that we create, and we create some controversies. I have. So I can honestly look back and I think that some of the controversies that I have is because I wouldn't change. Because I let things stay and they should be gone. Hold on to things, fears or doubts or hurts and pains from the past. And I've held on to them and I wouldn't change them. Why won't I let somebody in my life? Why won't I let them in my life? Why? Because I was hurt in this situation. So I won't let them in. I won't be hurt again. But I'm weak and he's strong. I'm going to say it again. I'm weak, but he's strong. It's he that gives me the strength to do that. So it's letting those things go. So he faced some of these things and he created some of this havoc in his life. And remember, the one thing that he did, his name was Jacob, and his name should have gave it away because it means supplanter. It means one who deceives, one who usurps authority. He's a sneakster, a shady guy. Come on, amen. He's a thief. He took things that weren't his. He took his brother's inheritance. He faked his way into it. I want you to know that sometimes it seems right. It was a good thing that he really wanted. It was a good thing that he wanted, but he did it in his own strength, in his own power, in his own might to get it. I believe, honestly, I believe that it was meant for Jacob to have it. It would have came to him somehow, some way. And we sometimes try to get our blessing and we try to get our happiness and we push our way to it ourselves. It's like the woman at the well. She was trying to find happiness. She was doing her own strength until she met Jesus. And everything changed at that one moment, at that one time. It was Jesus. So he was doing that. He was trying to find his happiness. He was trying to find his way. And he did it just like some of us have. We've tried to find that. We've tried to do it on our own. And because of it, it caused havoc in our lives. And he sowed deception. In the first place he went, he took off from his brother and he left. He ran. And as soon as he got to where he wanted to get, all of a sudden he met a guy and he was shadier than he was. What you sow, you reap. He met a guy that was a shyster, man. He was shady on edges. He was a used... Is there any used cars dealers here? Yeah, he was an old used car dealer. Honest Chuck. I'm sorry, but if it says honest in front of the dealership sign, don't go. If you got to tell me you're honest, I'm not a liar. I'll sell you a car. That bothers me every time I see that. Not against the probably nicest guys in the world. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it just seems fishy. I mean, really, would you, if you went and seen an honest heart surgeon, honest dentist, whatever, I don't know. If you got to confirm that, whatever that is, I don't think that's right. But here he met this guy, and this guy was shadier, and he was, and guess what? He caused more havoc in his life. But I want you to know the whole time he was there, the story tells me and begins to tell me, and it's in the Word of God telling me his whole story from rebellion to the time that he met with God, that God was with him. God was following him. God was right with him. God was encouraging him to change, that God was trying to transform him and to show him the light, to lead him and to guide him and direct him. But he kept going different directions. He kept doing it his own way. He kept doing it his own strength and his own might. But there was a moment where he met God, that he came in and God introduced himself to him. It's that moment. I want you to know that every one of us has to find that moment in our lives where that we're introduced to God of change. Where that you realize you can't do it in your own strength. There was things that I couldn't do on my own that I realize now that I know that it took a miracle of God to change me, to transform me, especially when it came to drugs in my life. It took a miracle. It took a God to introduce himself so that I'm a God that will free you. I will loose you from this thing and willing to take the change. But it was an option. Because I chose to change. Amen? If not, we continue to walk around the same mountains over and over and over. We don't want to do that, do we? Genesis 35. And it says, God said unto Jacob, he said to him, arise. This is his moment of change. Now, I want you to know that this is he's on this journey. And I wrote this down because I believe that I don't know what the saying is. It's not in the journey, it's in the destination. I understand that to some degree, but I want you to know that it's the journey that makes you who you are. Come on, amen. It's the journey that you find change. It's in the journey that he realized that God was his protector, that God was his provider. Thank you very much. It was in that thing. I thought, wow, there we go, right? See, that feels good. Doesn't it feel good when you do that? It just feels good. You know, when someone hits a high note or something, you clap. You know, last night we were doing karaoke, and I hit some really bad notes, and they clapped. I felt good. I know it wasn't good, but it felt good. They faked it, but... So listen, he said, God said unto Jacob, he said, arise. And he says, and go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee. He says, the God that appeared unto you, that when you fled from your brother, that he was the God that was there. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that when you're going through things, the only thing that changes, the only way that change happens is with God. His change and his transformation was God was involved with his brother's compromise and his brother's coming back together with him. It was God that was in the midst of that. God changed his heart, his brother's heart, as he changed Jacob's heart. It was God that was doing it. And Jacob let it happen. And we can see, he says, let God arise. And
I wrote that down. That word Bethel means house of God. It means house of God. And that word Bethel, the word El, means twisted together. Twisted together, like in a body that is twisted together, that's tied together. And it speaks of the connection with God. I want you to know that we could physically see that we come together, gathered together at Bethel, the house of God. I want you to know that you can meet God anywhere, that God met Him there, but there was something together collectively that they came together and they met with God. Come on, help me. Thank you. So that we meet with God, where we meet with God, that we come to that place where that we let that change take place. That's what worship does. That when we begin to worship, it gets your mind, hallelujah, off your weakness and begins to focus on He's Almighty. That my freedom begins with God. Amen. That it happens there. That showers of mercy on every face. Sometimes it doesn't look like that. Sometimes it doesn't seem that. Sometimes it seems like a melon that we ate lemons. Sometimes we look that way. Sometimes our expressions aren't really what they should be. Come on, amen. But I want you to know that in the midst, if we let God touch our hearts, if we let ourselves come together and we let ourselves be spoken to by the Spirit of God, that something happens, that at that moment, it's the moment of change. It's the moment where power transforms you. It's the moment where God had an opportunity to speak to Jacob that he can overcome, that he could do great things in his power and in his might, that he doesn't have to stay the same, but he can be transformed. It's those moments that take place. And he says, I want you to rise. He says, I want you to go. And it's that moment right there. He said that I want you to get up and I want you to go. I want you to change. And there's some things that took place. There were some things that changed in his life. And we're going to go over them just for a moment. He says, and then Jacob said unto the household, to those that were with him. And he said, and all to them that were with him, put away your strange garments, your strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. Change your garments. Listen, I want you to know that there is a change there. And he's saying to himself and to those that are with him, we got to change. We got to change. That I'm not just doing this for me, but I'm doing it for you. I know that change has to take place. That this change needs to happen. And changing your garments, it's powerful because you need to change your garments. Let's do an experiment. Don't change till next week. See, you know why? Because you know you need the change. You change your child's diapers? Why? Because they poo-pooed in them. You want to really tick off some people? Don't change them. Send him to school. I had a kid that was on my school bus. And one day, he was trapping all the time. But one day, he got on the bus. You didn't have to wonder. You knew what happened. One of those things that you just know what happened. You smelled it. He got sprayed with a skunk. Came to school. Really? I stunk like it for 2 days. And I didn't do nothing. And it got all over the place. They made him go home. Get in tomato soup. I don't know if it works, but do it. Change. The next day he comes. He gets on the bus. What's the odds? He got sprayed again. This isn't fun no more. I'm about ready to beat him up. I want to touch him. But I want you to see that, listen, we change our clothes because we know we need to. Sometimes you change them because you don't fit them no more. I have a shirt that I gave my daughter. I love this shirt so much. But I got to realize it. Don't fit me.
So I'll make a change. It don't fit. Listen, and those are things that we literally, sometimes you got to get up from where you are and you got to take hold of what you have. Sometimes we're expecting God will give you the strength to do this. He will give you the strength, but you got to arise. You got to get up and take off the garment. Come on. There's things that we hold on to that we're so used to wearing. It's comfortable. It just feels good. You got those clothes at home. You wouldn't let nobody else in the house see you in them. Look at nobody. But sometimes those clothes, sometimes they just feel good. It just feels, it's comfort. Come on, just like that comfort food or that comfort, whatever that is. Come on, amen. That sometimes, but sometimes, I want you to know, it takes you to get up, that you literally got to get up and go to the house of God. You got to get up and do that. You got to make some effort. You got to get up and you got to do that. You got to step forward. It's by faith that when you lift up your foot, it's God that intercedes at that moment. Do you know that? It's not by you. It's not by your works, but it's by you stepping up, by you taking charge. You get up from where you are, saying, I'm going to step forward, and God will empower you to do it. God will empower you to do that. He will strengthen you to do that. I found those moments that I didn't want to do it. I don't get up and say, yes, I'm going to change and take this off. But I know I have to. When you begin to do that, that's when God steps in the midst. That's where God shows up. When you're in the midst of your relationship, where you know that, man, I don't have to be right. I'm going to take this off. I've wore this proud. I'm angry about this moment, but I'm just going to take this off because I don't need to carry this. It says, I will give you the garment of praise for mourning. Changing of garments. Isaiah 52 verse 1. Look at that real quick while I finish with these few. But speak of the garment speaks of the effort both mentally and emotionally. And then he said to him, he says, and put away the strange gods in your garments. And he said, let us arise. Say, let us arise. And go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar of God, and answer me in that day of my distress. And I was with me, in the way which I went. He was with me, that God was with me. I'm going to meet with him again. I got to meet with him again because he was with me. He was my strength. Says, let us arise and go up to Bethel. Oh, go. You got that? Isaiah 52, verse 1. Isaiah 52. Oh, yeah. Okay. Put on the beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Henceforth there shall be no more come unto thee uncertain, unclean. Next verse. Shake off the dust and arise. Sometimes you have to shake it off. You have to loose yourself from the bands that are in your neck, that God will empower you. Sometimes you got to just physically take, man, I got to just get this off me. Can't carry this. I do not want to do this no more. I don't want to act this way. Amen? There's moments that I've had to just wave the flag and say, if you're right with one another, just come to that place. Amen? Shake that old thing off. He says, and I gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in the land. He says, earrings. He took off their earrings. That speaks of hearing. We need to change the way we hear things. And Jacob hid them under the oak. And that's another, I don't have time for that. Maybe next Wednesday. And they journeyed. They journeyed. Say journeyed. And that's the key, that we understand that it's the journey. That we just, sometimes we focus on the finished product, but it's in the journey. It's in that moment. It's in the getting up. It's in that moment that does something to our lives, that we can look back and say, remember that moment right then and there that God gave me the strength to move through that thing. God gave me the strength. So they got up from that place, and sometimes change has to take place, that it needs a geographical change. Sometimes you got to move from where you are. Sometimes we find ourselves living in caves. Find ourselves in, what are caves? They're dark places. Help me tonight. They're dark places. The only pillow you got is a rock that you lay your head on. And the only voice that you hear is your own. The echoes in the depths of that cave. And that speaks of us being in a place where the only thing we hear is our own misery and our own pain. And we get into a place of depression. We get in a place of, oh me, oh me. We been there?
Oh yeah. I hang out there. Sometimes I get...
But we can't stay there. For change to happen, we need to geographically change where we are. And we need to go meet with God. We also need to know that we might think that we know our plans. Sometimes we try to stick to our plans. But are they God's plans? Are they the plans that God has that are intended for my life to bring joy, to bring hope, to bring purpose? Or am I letting things come to change my plans that God has for me? Am I changing the plans? Am I rerouting my destination on my journey because I don't like what I'm seeing along the way? That I get off and I hope that GPS recalculates. Recalculating. Proverbs 19:21 says that many are our plans in the man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Listen, we can look at the life of Joseph and see that he had a journey. And it was in the journey that brought him to his destination. It was the journey that brought him to the destination. He didn't just get to the destination. It was the journey. It was when his brothers rejected him and beat him and threw him in a pen that God brought somebody by, hallelujah, to bring him out of that place. And he got sold somewhere else and he got deceived there and he left that place. And every one of these moments, he might think, man, is this the plans of God? I don't know. But he stayed in a place where he trusted God in the midst of it. His heart was right. He was letting whatever change needed to take place in his heart to take place. That he can finally come to the destination. And because he didn't get off the journey, he didn't get off the plan, but he kept with the route that God had for him, that he found his destination. Come on, amen. From a pit to the palace. He found himself sitting with authority because he stayed in that journey. He stayed with God's plans. And there's seasons. And it says that he journeyed, it says, and Jacob came to that place in Bethel, and he and all his people that were there. Sometimes you go through different things in your life and different relationships. You go through different seasons in your life. Come on, you've been through different seasons. I want you to know that, listen, you've got to make sure you have a strong entourage that believe in you, that love you. Sometimes you've got to look. Sometimes you've got to trust God that God will bring you to a place where people will love you. Well, you need loved. People that will love you. Come on. That you'll find love that you need. The encouragement that you need to change. To get to where you need to be. That sometimes will say things that because they love you. And it says, and God said to him, I am God Almighty. He said, be fruitful. He says, multiply, and the nations and the company of nations shall be of thee, and the kings shall come into thy loins. He says, in the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, and to thee I give it to you and your seed. After thee I will give it the land. I will give it all to you. I want you to know that he wanted to change his environment. He was changing his environment. Light removes darkness. It removes darkness. So we have to let God bring us to a place that we can experience His voice, His Word. Amen? And it says, and God went up. I'm almost done. And this is the key thing that for change to take place. It's your mind. The way you think about yourself. The way you think of others. It happens here. It's that our minds be renewed in Christ. That we begin to understand how He thinks about me and how He thinks about you. If I realize how much He loves you, I'd stop hating you. I'm going to say it again. If I realize how much He loved you, I would stop hating. I'd realize that, my God, how can I? I don't hate anybody here. Don't make it a point. How could I? If my mind is changed, if I start loving who I am, I can love them. Whew. And this is where the change took place. And he said to him, and he says that you will no longer. He says, God went up. Let me see. Where are we at here? I missed the right here. And he says, God appeared to me. He says, Jacob. He says, you will no longer. Thy name is Jacob. Supplanter. Deceiver. That's the way he looked at himself. And God said to him, he says, you will no longer be that. You will be Israel. He who strives after God. That's who you are. One who strives. Soldier of God. One who strives after God. That's your name. It's no longer deceiver. See, I want you to know that I want to change your mind. I want you to not look at yourself as what you used to be. The only way ever to change is to realize the way He sees you. The way He sees, the way He thinks about you. That He first loved me. He says, and God went up from Him into a place where He talked with Him. God wants to bring you a place and says, God went up. I want you to know that we got to understand that when God goes, I need to go. He said that God went up from Him into a place where He talked with Him. And Jacob set a pillar in the place where He talked with Him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering therein, and he poured out oil upon it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with me, where God spoke to me. And the place was called Bethel. Do you know what the name of the place was before? It was called Luz. And that word Luz, if you pronounce it, is called Luz. It was a place where he lost to a place where he met God. So I want you to know that if we let God change us, that He'll transform our environment and the way that we see things. He changes from the inside out. He renews us in our hearts and our thinking. Renews the way we are, and it transforms, it changes everything around us if we let God and we meet with God and give Him that opportunity to do what He needs to do. That I know Him. Jacob did that, and because of that, Jacob was a blessing. Jacob was a blessing. And those that are with him, he had a son named Joseph. And you know the stories of all of them, but the power that took place out of that midst of that, that he was a father of many. Why? Because he experienced changed. Would you stand to your feet? Heavenly Father, I just ask right now, God, Lord, that each one of us in our own ways, in our own journeys, that we understand change and that we open our hearts up to the change. To the change that, God, Lord, that we might not always see, that we might not understand, but God, Lord, that we let it take forth in the Spirit, that we let it transform us, that we let it renew us, God. Lord, I pray tonight to God, Lord, that each one of us that struggle in whatever areas, God, Lord, I pray that you strengthen them right here, right now. Come on, just receive that right now by faith. Lord, that you can move forth out of that place, out of that pit, and you can move on in your destination that God has planned. That you can receive all that He has for you. And that all that God wants to do through you in the power of His name. And we give you the glory and the honor. And we will declare that we are. Amen. Come on, encourage somebody. And come on downstairs. Grab a gift bag. I think we got gift bags or something. Just take some of the kids. I mean, they got extra. Just take one. They have some cookies. They have some things. Just grab something. Say hi to the kids down there. Amen. Amen. And don't forget, a movie night, God's Not Dead 3, awesome movie, on Wednesday.